Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Good afternoon and welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm going to kick off today's show by welcoming the audience on Devil Radio 92.7 FM WTTN 1580 AM here in Madison, on the Shaw 101 FM WAUK 540 AM out of Waukesha, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 FM, 1230 AM in Wausau, and locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, that's 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. And no Brian this afternoon, but I want to thank Evan on the board. But it is Brian's birthday today, and I know he wanted to be on the air with listeners, but he's got a lot going on, and I want to wish the man a very, very happy birthday. Brian, I love you, buddy. I know you're potentially listening in here, but doing some excellent work for this network, and so I hope the best for him as he's doing his programming and providing an excellent service to everybody that I just listed in that listening audience. Wausau and Wisconsin Rapids, welcome to the show. If you haven't heard before, I'm Luke Mathers, co-host this hour from 2 to 3 p.m. with Brian Kelly, and we try to share some Wisconsin headlines and make a little light of the news sometimes because it is not necessarily the best news all the time these days. We've got rising COVID cases here in Wisconsin again. More than 500 COVID-19 patients in the hospitals, according to the Wisconsin Hospital Association, as of this weekend. So that's something we got to keep an eye on. But we also like try to connect things because there's a lot of related stories out there that not everybody else talks about how they're related, and we go on tangents from now and then. So if you want to join the show, you can give us a call, send us a text, 844-967-2789. Got Evan on the board taking care of screening those calls, making sure we know who you are when you're calling in. That's pretty much it. But Evan, how was your weekend?
It was wet. It was rainy.
It was rainy.
Yeah, it was intense, man.
It was.
But yeah. we weren't in the woods.
I see. I got out before the rain happened. I got a little sunburned, though. I went out. My buddy's got a boat. He did some light fishing. I'm not a huge fisher, but I'm kind of like, yeah, I'll go out on the boat. Why not? So went out on the boat on Friday night. Saw a lot of fish on the radar, on the little sonar that he's got in the boat. And the my fiance, his wife stayed back at the campsite. We went out on the water. Gorgeous view up in Castle Rock Lake in central Wisconsin. I had a really good time. No fish were caught that evening, but then we spent the day Saturday on the lake. Got a little sunburnt. Cloudburn, kind of, almost. The sun did come out towards the end, and when I saw the sun coming out, I put the beverages aside for a moment and was like, you know, I should go put some sunscreen on. And that helped my back, for sure, but my arms while I was on the boat earlier in the day definitely got some cloudburn. But it was a great weekend. We packed things up before the rain set in because we were walking from campsite to campsite with some other friends there, and one guy was like, hey, are you guys leaving? You see, there's 3 to 5 inches of rain in the forecast. And I was like, wait, what? So we took a double check because we knew there was a chance for getting wet, but 3 to 5 inches of rain is a lot different than just, you know, some light showers throughout the evening, letting it dry off the following morning, and then heading home. We were like, 3 to 5 inches, that's not something to mess around with. And it started raining pretty much as soon as we hit the road around 9:30, 10 o'clock that evening then, headed back to the Madison area. But probably the right choice. I don't know what the total rain accumulation was up there in central Wisconsin on Saturday night, but from the downpour that we experienced as we were leaving, I believe it was the right decision.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was. It was intense. Like actual flash flooding. It gets dangerous.
Yeah. And there's been some pretty terrible stories out there in Kentucky specifically last week where there was flash flooding. And so it's not something to mess around with. We just didn't want to get too washed out right on the, we had a campsite right on the lake too. So I have a feeling water would run pretty well through that site. So rather than take our chances, we packed up, but still had a good time. And, yeah, now it's election eve, Evan. We've got a primary election
tomorrow in Wisconsin. And people have already been voting. Absentee voting has been open. People have been early voting for the better part of the last 2 weeks. And still, there's not really a good indication of how tomorrow's GOP gubernatorial primary is going to go. And I'm going to dive into some national headlines a little bit later in the show, as well as potentially we might be getting an update from Packers training camp from one Jason Hafeman, who is up in Green Bay later today. So that is to come in the show. But here in Wisconsin right now, Republicans are in disarray. And it's, I don't understand how these stories, the slightest little difference among elected Democrats gets every, you can see column inches upon column inches of Dems in disarray stories. And I don't quite understand why there's not more Republican in disarray stories right now.
It's not as flashy. There's no alliteration.
I understand. And that is a question that I have, Evan. Is it just the alliteration? Is that the reason why you don't hear Republicans in disarray? Or is it because, you know, the corporate media doesn't really want to highlight maybe the Republican rifts in their party? They just want to be able to play up when Democrats are having a little spat or kerfuffle. Mm-hmm. They want to play that up on the margin. But the former president came to Wisconsin last Friday. I hear he was delayed. I didn't listen. I checked out. I was out in the woods last Friday night. So I don't really know what the former guy said. I'll admit, I don't care what the former guy said. We know who his endorsed candidate is in this race. And we don't know a whole lot about that candidate, and that's going to be something else we talk about a little bit later in this hour. But he came to town, former President Donald Trump came to town, and no other official, really, from the entire Republican Party in the state of Wisconsin attended this rally for the former president. No one is really embracing the former candidate. He had on to introduce, before Tim Michaels came, he had Adam Stein, I don't know exactly how to pronounce this guy's name, because a few weeks ago, he was a nobody. He wasn't on anybody's radar. He's a primary challenger to Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. And this is the crazy kicker. So he got to be on stage with the former president and construction businessman Tim Michaels in Waukesha last Friday. We did special coverage, and the listeners here in this listening audience on Devil Radio, on the Shaw, on Bull Falls Radio, they were listening, locally grown radio. I don't know if it quite got to pick up all of the Trump speech, what was going on, but we had listeners tuning in for it, and Tim Michaels and Donald Trump are giving a platform to this primary candidate, to the most powerful elected Republican in Wisconsin right now. Like it or not, that's what Robin Voss is. Up until these past few months, Robin Voss has had a steel iron fist just around the Republican Party in Wisconsin. He had them sign non-disclosure agreements not to discuss their individual districts in 2011 when they were redrawing some of the most gerrymandered districts in the country. Voss got to redraw the maps based on those maps from a decade ago this cycle around. He's green lighting. He is the Republican Party in Wisconsin. And there is a full-blown mutiny going on right now because the guy that he hired, Robin Voss, is directly responsible for hiring Michael Gableman to look into the 2020 presidential election in Wisconsin. Voss gave Gableman a budget of $676,000. He signed off on an $11,000 monthly salary for the former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice. And now Gableman, after Adam Stein, opened for the Michaels Trump rally in Waukesha on Friday, Gableman's now out recording robocalls and voice an ad, a video ad, against Robin Voss's opponent in tomorrow's primary. This is a full-blown mutiny.
It's wild, man.
I don't understand how this is not... Do reporters think if they just don't necessarily make as big of a story out of it, it's not as big of a story?
I guess. And seeing Clayfish get thrown under the bus Friday night, oof.
She had very little to say. She was in Madison today, kicking off a campaign, the final day of campaign events.
Trump went full against her. Oh, she's a plant. She's deep state. I mean, yeah, it was wild.
But the crazy thing is, Evan, regardless of what he said about her at last Friday's rally, if she wins tomorrow, you don't think he's going to come and stump for her before November? The guy's got a memory of a goldfish. He doesn't even remember what he said last Friday probably about her. Of course he's going to come and stump for her if she wins. And that's the crazy part, is this is such a competitive race that was supposed to just be hers. She was supposed to run away with this. The party establishment, Robin Voss, Devin LeMahieu, the Senate Majority Leader in the Wisconsin State Senate, they fully want a Clayfish Republican nomination. The former governor of Wisconsin, Scott Walker, Ted Cruz, Mike Pence, former Vice President Mike Pence, all of those individuals want Clayfish. The Republican establishment wants Clayfish to be the Republican nominee. And there is a full-blown just mutiny amongst the Republican Party. They are completely in disarray right now. Meanwhile, the Democrats have coalesced around one candidate. All the internal polling led to one thing. Mandela Barnes looked to be the front runner, and there was no way any of the other three closest candidates to him in the Marquette University Law School polling and internal polling could have caught up before tomorrow's primary. And so they graciously, I guess you could say it, graciously dropped out and endorsed Barnes in that race. They're coalescing around one candidate. Whatever the opposite of disarray is, it's what the Democrats are doing in Wisconsin. Full-blown array? I don't quite know if that's what you'd call it. But the Republicans are falling to pieces right now in Wisconsin. And better yet, Democrats at the national level seem to have found some strategy potentially too. So it's a very interesting time right now. We're going to keep diving into this story and many more when we get back from this break. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you want to share your tangent, 844-967-2789. We'll be taking those calls and texts all hour long. We'll be right back. This is Dueling Tangents. Tangents with Luke and Brian, minus the Brian this afternoon, but let's cut the birthday boy a break. He's doing his thing, and it's his birthday today, so if you do get to see him or send him a message, tell him happy birthday. And yeah, got Evan on the board, you on the phone lines with your tangents, 844-967-2789. But Republicans in disarray here in the state of Wisconsin. It's amazing to me that this is not the top line story at every statewide outfit and all the local outlets as well, for that matter, because this is just a full-blown mutiny before tomorrow's partisan primary. And I don't know, I keep calling it the same thing because I don't know what else it would be. Michael Gableman has been allowed to go and be a bull in a china shop for Wisconsin's elections for the last year. There's no there. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, the conservative outlet in Wisconsin, said if there was any ability for them to sue or try to decertify or go after widespread voter fraud, Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty would be the outfit to do that. They did an independent review and said there is no there. The Legislative Audit Bureau reviewed it. Multiple courts have reviewed it. We now have open records lawsuits that are being settled here in Dane County Court that there is evidence that Gableman's review did nothing for the first 2 months last year, in July and August. Across those 2 months, Gableman did nothing. He worked out of a public library. He used a personal Yahoo email account. He reached out to the MyPillow executive to try to find out from him what his sources were for the widespread fraud he was claiming was out there from the 2020 election. He went and visited the Cyber Ninjas outfit. I can't even say that, apparently. Cyber Ninjas outfit in Arizona. Nothing to do with Wisconsin's elections. The man, when he was hired, said he doesn't know how elections work. He was given the green light to do whatever he wanted. A salary of $11,000 a month and a budget of $676,000. He exceeded that budget. His salary's been cut in half because he has no work to show for what he's been doing for the last year, and Voss just wanted the stories to continue to go out that there was somebody looking into those concerns some Wisconsin voters have about widespread voter fraud. And Gableman cannot provide any examples. And this is what he had to say about the Wisconsin State Assembly Speaker when talking about the endorsement and robocalls and ads that he did for Adam Steen, who is running against Voss on tomorrow's ballot. This is a quote. Robin Voss never wanted a real investigation into the 2020 election in Wisconsin, and everything that my office and I have been able to expose, all the corruption that took place, has been in spite of Robin, not because of him, Gableman said in the ad, which is paid for by Steen's campaign. So Steen is paying, Robin Voss's primary opponent is paying Michael Gableman for this endorsement to voice this ad. Gableman's getting paid on all sides, which is just one more example of why I believe Gableman's whole effort here wasn't to find any fraud. There was no fraud there to be found. Gableman is, I contend, trying to resurrect his name to run on next spring's Wisconsin Supreme Court open seat. There is an open seat for the Wisconsin Supreme Court next year. Next spring, there will be candidates vying. There are already some candidates running in that nonpartisan race. And Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Rogensack is retiring. She is retiring, and that means it's an open seat. And I think Gableman wants that seat. And it is terrifying for me to think that he's going to have the statewide name recognition to do it now because of Voss. And before he's done, he's going to stab Voss in the back. Win or lose tomorrow, Robin Voss is the sole person that could end this charade that is Michael Gableman. Voss could have ended it a long time ago, and he hasn't. And, I mean, I'm one for just desserts, so it's interesting to watch this happen, but this is a full-blown mutiny in the Republican Party here in Wisconsin. And again, I just don't have another term for it because I don't know what else to call it. But in the vein of what's going on with elections, it's important to know where the Republican candidates that are running for governor believe we should go, because they all want to float the big lie. They all want the premise. They want Republicans to believe that there was widespread voter fraud because it's the vehicle they're using to make it harder to vote in Wisconsin. Republicans know that low turnout elections tend to swing in their favor. They're a fan of fewer people going to the polls. Republicans want to do away with the Wisconsin Elections Commission after they did away 7 years ago with the Government Accountability Board. Scott Walker, Rebecca Clayfish, Robin Voss, Scott Fitzgerald, those are the leaders in the governor's office and the Wisconsin legislature in 2015 when they overhauled the Government Accountability Board. And now they want to do it again. Headline over at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Molly Beck: Republicans running for governor are short on specifics when it comes to overhauling Wisconsin elections. I don't have enough time to get into the entire piece, but this is where Republicans are. They want to do away with voting and make it harder to vote in the state of Wisconsin. They want to overhaul the Wisconsin Elections Commission, but they can't tell you what to replace it with. Maybe it'll be that healthcare bill that we've been waiting for the repeal and replace. We still haven't heard the Republican idea for replacing the Affordable Care Act. It doesn't exist. We haven't heard of it because it doesn't exist. I have a feeling doing away with the Wisconsin Elections Commission, it falls under that same umbrella. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, the Shaw 101 FM, Bull Falls Radio, and locally grown radio. Going to a quick break, but getting to your phone calls after this. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Tangents with Luke and Brian, minus the Brian this afternoon, but it got Evan on the board. And Jane Matinere, want to give her a quick shout out. She's been doing a terrific job with the news reads. Jane's been producing Kristen Bry's show, As Goes Wisconsin, from noon to two on almost all of the stations that are listening to my voice right now. Bull Falls Radio up in Wausau, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, and the Shaw 101 FM WAUK 540 AM in Waukesha. So shout out to those two ladies doing some great work from noon to two. And Jane doing an excellent job on those headlines. We're full of bustling little shows and new programming and new content, just cranking it out there as well. If you haven't heard Up North News with Pat Kreitlow yet from 8 to 11 on Bull Falls Radio, you definitely want to tune in for Pat's new show. It's terrific. And if I don't say so myself, some excellent producing on that show. Evan's just like nodding his head. He's like,
no, yeah, dude, take it.
I'm the producer, so I'm just tooting my own horn there. But yeah, I mean, as things are going, just complete wreckage, just scorched earth in Republican politics right now in Wisconsin, Democrats, dare I say, have some strategy going on. And over the weekend, the U.S. Senate, despite having a zero margin majority, they need Vice President Kamala Harris to come in and break any ties if they're 50-50. And that is what happened on yesterday. About this time, right about this time yesterday, the U.S. Senate passed the Inflation Reduction Act. The largest climate investment that we've ever had. Medicare is going to be able to negotiate drug prices to reduce costs when it comes to healthcare costs for millions of Americans. And corporations are going to have to pay more of their fair share. Terrific win. Republicans scorched earth in Wisconsin. I'm sure if you looked into state parties around the country, you'd see similar infighting and Republican in disarray stories. And at the national level, we've got Democrats passing a transformational piece of legislation that will go to address inflation right now, but also address many other problems that the country faces. And statewide, we've got Democrats coalescing around one candidate. They are trying to unify the party ahead of November's midterm elections. I don't know how you could see two more diametrically opposed political parties right now in this country. But we're going to go to the phone lines. And like I said, towards the end of this hour, we're going to get a live update from Green Bay at Packers training camp. So Jason Hafeman on the ground up there in Green Bay. But first, we're going to head to the phone lines. We've got Andrew in Waukesha calling in. Andrew, did you check out the Trump event in Waukesha on Friday, or did you skip out on that one like I did?
No, I was there. I was helping Jay Schrader with the Secretary of State race.
Okay, so volunteering on one of the campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so, what was your takeaway from Friday? Do you believe there's some scorched earth going on in Republican politics right now, or do you have a better view on it than I do?
I don't know what you mean by scorched earth. I mean, I'm trying to give you the benefit of the doubt here. There is disarray, but only in the sense that you have an inept leadership that is desperate to try to figure out, you know, how they can cling to power.
Okay, so you find Robin Voss inept?
Only in that, in the way that he's currently run this these last 2 years, I'm not going to judge his career as a politician. I certainly think he served his time, and the last time I spoke to him, I encouraged him past term limits. Every Republican I know wants term limits. You've been there too long, and he's like, "Yeah, I'll leave soon enough." And it's like, "Well, maybe it'll be tomorrow."
Well, what about the DNR? The DNR would agree with you.
Yeah, Republicans don't even follow the DNR term limits. They just overstay their welcome on that one. But that Natural Resources Board, Evan. But yes.
Thank you.
That's the appointment thing. I don't know anything about
it. Well, it is
that.
A term limit, the reason though. That's all. That's sure, why Evan sure. points it out.
I don't know the specifics of the topic. The reason I called is to talk about the Voss race.
Okay.
And I mentioned this about a week ago. You know, I said, look, this is a time for your listeners and for Democratic voters to put your money where your mouth is. If you don't like Voss, if you want him out of office, you know, the Senate primary for the Democratic Party is pretty much wrapped up. You don't have a gubernatorial candidate primary. This is your opportunity. If you live in Robin Voss's district, vote for Adam Steen, and you can be assured that whoever is in leadership will not be as bad as Voss. Now,
I don't know about that, Andrew. I'm going to say that, it's fascinating to me that the conservative view of Robin Voss is that he's been inept leadership. Because I would
say,
man,
they were savage on Friday
night.
That's
what I'm saying. Scorched earth is the what I believe is a good indicator of what's going on right now, because the former president and his wing of the party is going after the establishment Republican Party in the state of Wisconsin, and in a brutal way. They're going and trying to undermine the presumed candidate. Rebecca Clayfish was the presumed candidate that the Republican dark money donors, all of the from top to bottom, pretty much everybody in the state legislature besides Timothy Rantham was on board for a Clayfish Republican nomination. And they're primarying Robin Voss's opponent, and they went to the East Coast and picked out a candidate that doesn't live in Wisconsin at least 50% of the year. If you're being generous, I would say more than that. Tim Michaels is a Connecticut and New York resident. He's coming back to Wisconsin to try to parachute in as this nothing. He's a blank canvas of a candidate. You can project whatever you believe he stands for on him, because he doesn't seem to stand for a whole lot. He's taking the former guy's endorsement, and he's not giving a whole lot of specifics. And then Robin Voss getting primaried from the right and getting an endorsement in that primary from the guy that Robin Voss has done more for Republicans in the state of Wisconsin than anybody else over the last decade or two. And he's not apparently doing enough for this crazy wing of the party. And I'm sorry, Andrew. I appreciate your call. But again, as I said about a week or two ago when you said that suggestion that Democrats should go and vote for Adam Steen if they live in Voss's district, I don't think the voters of the 63rd Assembly District should have, like, I wish it was a more fair district. I wish that we did not have these gerrymandered districts that Robin Voss brought to us. But it is also not Democratic voters' responsibility in that district to take care of your trash. I'm sorry, it's not. I believe that if you are a Democrat, regardless if you're in the 63rd district or anywhere else across the state, you should be voting in the Democratic primary, because yes, the U.S. Senate race has somewhat wrapped up. There's still other candidates running besides Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. They are still all on the ballot, but there are competitive primaries in the Lieutenant Governor's race, in the Secretary of State's race, in the State Treasurer's race, all on the Democratic side, as well as other down-ballot candidates. So, no, I do not give individuals the advice that they should go and vote for Robin Voss's primary opponent. I just don't believe in that. I think that if elected Republicans want to take care and have better leadership, or, quote, better leadership for whatever you want to say about it, that should be their responsibility to get better leadership. They could vote for a different assembly speaker whenever they want. They started this term accepting Robin Voss. They've started every term in the last decade or two. He's like the longest serving assembly speaker. Republicans should have to take care of their trash. I fully believe that. So if you are a Democratic primary voter tomorrow in the 63rd Assembly District, I don't think Adam Steen, again, because there's no way to prove that he'd be better. Adam Steen is part of this wild wing of conservative activists since 2020 that believe the election was stolen from them. He has insane views on contraception. He is not the better candidate. I think it would be hilarious if Robin Voss lost. I will not deny that. But I don't believe that it's Democratic voters in the 63rd Assembly District's responsibility to send Steen, because there's no Democrat in that race. There's no alternative. Whoever wins tomorrow's Republican primary in Robin Voss's district is going to be the assembly person for that race. That is who they will, that will be the only name on the ballot come November. So appreciate the call, Andrew. But going to have to agree to disagree on that one. Up next this afternoon, we got Jeannie and Eau Claire calling in. Jeannie, what's on your mind today?
Hi. First of all, I want to say happy birthday to Brian, and I hope he has a wonderful birthday. And then
Jeannie,
like
I will pass on that message. If he did not hear it just now, I will pass on that message.
Good. Thank you. And thank you guys for running the Trump deal. Oh, man. I hope everybody, if you got it posted, say where it is, because everybody's got to hear it. It was like the loony bin on fire. People need to hear the disgraceful exhibit of lunatics that I've ever seen in my life, saying the election was stolen. Just all the lies and all of the garbage and blaming Democrats and going after Evers.
Dead naming trans people again. Yes.
For the people.
Yeah, it was shocking even to me as someone who knows what's going on to see the entire presentation. It was chilling.
I would say Evan put in the hard work on Friday night. Evan was producing on the board for the entire thing on Friday evening, and I'm gonna admit I checked out. I didn't listen because I had a pretty good idea of what was gonna be said at Friday's rally, but we still find it important to broadcast, and we broadcast it here on this network. And as we do for all the major party candidates when they come to town, when the former president comes to town, we're gonna air what he has to say because we believe it's newsworthy. And then I believe there was appropriate commentary from our panel though as well, pointing out the crazy. And so I appreciate that you listened, Jeannie.
It was outstanding show, guys. And listening to the other people that are running, and I wouldn't trust that other guy. Democrats don't go out and vote Republican. Independents stay the heck away from that ticket if you wanna see our state survive. These are a bunch of Looney Tunes, and it's really bad. So listen to it, guys. Hear with your own ears what the heck these guys are preaching and what they stand for, because you will be shocked. Thanks, guys. I didn't mean to go on so long. Thank you.
No
have
worries,
a day.
Jeannie. Thank you so much. You have a great day as well. And I think it is important to listen to the crazy sometimes. I had other plans Friday night.
And we're not exactly behind the curve, right? We have our finger on the pulse, as it were.
Right.
So I don't think we should have to subject ourselves. I mean, because, you know, it was 6-7 hours. It was a long time.
It is a long,
it's a long
like
time
it ran
to be
long.
In Trump world.
It went late. It was an interesting. And honestly, I don't know. Every time I see like photos or videos of the former guy now, I just think that he's deteriorating pretty rapidly. Evan, I don't know if you know the side-by-side comparison between what Trump did when he had COVID and what Biden did when he had COVID. Again, pretty polar opposites there. You got
and generally, even a sort of quote-unquote healthy presidency ages you so much.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a stressful job.
Yeah, but Trump had to get, and not to make light of the situation for COVID, but he had to get medevaced pretty much to Walter Reed. And Biden has been working from home in isolation in the East Wing, and he oversaw the CHIPS bill being passed. He oversaw a military raid of the pretty much number one guy left in Al-Qaeda. He oversaw the final negotiations going into this bipartisan inflation reduction, or excuse me, it wasn't bipartisan. In the Senate, it was passed through reconciliation for the Inflation Reduction Act. And it's been one heck of a week for him on COVID.
Yeah.
Real quickly here, we got one more call we're going to try to squeeze in before the break. We got Dick and Madison calling in. Dick, what's on your mind today?
Well, Andrew's suggestion to me is about as settling as playing Russian roulette with a fully loaded gun.
Yeah,
really?
I mean, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't, right?
Worse.
Yeah.
But nationally, guys, I don't understand. Up is down and down is up. look at what's going on in a year and a half under Biden. All the things we're talking about. Now there's big bill signed. It's jobs, 528,000 in a month. Lowest unemployment in 52 years. And let's review the last two Republican presidents. W, in 7 years, took us almost to the D word, not the R word. And the last guy run us in the ditch with the hugest deficit in history.
Yeah.
And these are what they consider good leaders?
That's what some Republicans do, Dick. Appreciate the call. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We've got a on-the-ground field report from Green Bay on Packers training camp coming up next from Jason Hafeman. You're listening to Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but it is his birthday. So if you see him, or if you want to message him, send him a happy birthday. He will greatly appreciate those birthday wishes. Folks, you're listening on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM here in Madison. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM in Waukesha. On Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, that's 98.9 FM, 1230 AM, and locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. And outside of just, you know, discussing the politics and news and headlines of the day, I also like to, and Brian as well. Brian's more of the baseball guy. Brian's a big fan of the Chicago Cubs, which I'm not, but he likes baseball. For me, my sport of choice, honestly, would probably be soccer. But the United States isn't great at soccer. So I do cheer for a few different clubs, European clubs, as well as I'll cheer for the national team when they're doing all right. But I don't follow closely because they don't do all right all that often. But really, each fall, my bandwidth outside of work gets taken up with football, National Football League, NFL, specifically fantasy football. And so Brian too a little bit, but again, baseball is his, basketball and football have really been mine lately. And on that note, we're going to talk about some sports. We're going to move away from the politics and the headlines of the day with some headlines of what's going on in the sports world, because the Green Bay Packers have their first preseason game this Friday evening, I believe in Santa Clara against the 49ers. And we have one Jason Hafeman, friend here of Dueling Tangents, on the ground in Green Bay. Jason, how you doing this afternoon?
Hey, Luke. it was a very interesting day here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We started off with drizzle and rain, and then it warmed up and became like a beautiful afternoon. So I'd like to say the Packers practice followed that same trajectory, but there were some issues there that we can say. I don't think they're ready for the preseason game. Let me just say that.
Really? Okay. So there's still some work to be done between now and Friday's first game.
Yes. So here's the situation. You can look at two sides of a coin. The Packers defense looked incredible, as advertised in person.
All right.
So maybe that was causing the offense so many problems, but the offense really looked pretty rough. So I'm just prepping Packers fans. Don't expect a lot from the offense to start, but the defense looks stellar.
Well, that's good. Good expectations game playing as well, though, Jason, because it is going to be interesting without wide receiver Davante Adams. Several times Pro Bowl, vital portion of the Green Bay offense for the last, I believe, 8 or 9 years he was in Green Bay. Got traded away this offseason to the, I was going to say Oakland, but I was like, that's not right. And then I couldn't place it. But the Las Vegas Raiders, because they're making changes and making it harder on my mind when I'm jumping tangent to tangent. But no Davante Adams
still,
this
it still
year.
Doesn't quite sound right, yeah.
Yeah, it's
that
it's
Las
weird.
Vegas Raiders still doesn't quite, yeah.
It is. It's still strange to think about. But the offense without Davante Adams is going to be interesting. And I think it's probably going to take not even just the 3 weeks that we've got in the preseason, but also kind of probably a few weeks into the regular season before the offense fully starts clicking. There has been a lot of hype around
a wide receiving rookie, Romeo Doubs. Mm. Do you have any insight from on the ground today of that, or was it pretty much all not that great when it came to the offense during today's practice?
He looks solid. He looked good. He looked comfortable out there. Another guy, Amari Rodgers, a rookie from last year who struggled, looks a lot more comfortable out there. So, I mean, I think there's some strides from the young guys, which will help. The line has a lot of gelling to do, and they're still figuring out stuff on the offensive line, which is a primary concern for the offense. I think that's even a bigger concern to me than the receivers at this point. But, you know, I just think it might be different for Packers fans this year. You might have to see games won a different way. I think the defense is going to be a legitimate shutdown defense, but also a turnover-causing defense. So, you know, there might be some lower-scoring games. There might be games where the offense really struggles, and the defense is, you know, holding teams down, and you still win 9-6 or something like that.
So what you're saying for the fantasy football players out there is maybe the Green Bay Packers defense is a sleeper defense, because normally you don't rely on the Packers for production when it comes to fantasy football out of the defense. Do you think that maybe is a changer this year?
I do. I think there's going to be impactful plays, and one guy to watch out for is the guy who made a splash on the scene last year, Rasul Douglas. He is now playing a lot more in the slot, so closer to the line of scrimmage. I think that's going to allow him to make more impactful plays. They might send him on blitzes at times. He's still got a nose for the ball, so I think he's going to have a big season. Plus, earlier, I think it was last week, he came out and said his goal is to be Defensive Player of the Year in the NFL this year. So he's setting his goals pretty high.
That is a lofty goal. And some praise that was given last week, I believe, Aaron Rodgers said that Rasul Douglas was one of the – I believe he said he had the highest IQ, football IQ, when it came to playing the game since Charles Woodson. So that was Rodgers' praise of Douglas in the last couple weeks or so, I believe in the last week or two. And so Rodgers is recognizing that as well as being on the quarterback side of the ball, going up against Douglas, I would assume, in some of those first-team reps. And so that's pretty high praise from the back-to-back MVP quarterback, saying he's got the football acumen of one Charles Woodson, who's now in the Hall of Fame, so and former teammate of Rodgers. But that's great to know. What about... there's one other question. Oh, we got some injury updates by chance. I know there's been a number of Packers that lost some time last year. Biggest names that come to mind are Bakhtiari and Elgton Jenkins on the line and Robert Tonyan at tight end. Any chance you saw them up and at them, or what did you see from those players?
Sure. Bakhtiari came out, I think, just a couple minutes before practice ended. He was not chugging a beer like at Bucks games, but he was out on the field for a few minutes. Elgton Jenkins walked out. They're both wearing wraps on their left legs, which is where they had the knee injuries. Robert Tonyan's running around and looks really good. So I'm hopeful that he'll be back soon. And also some of the other guys, Patrick Taylor, who's a probably third-string running back, nice guy to have on the team. He's looking better. And then a couple of the other guys look like they'll be back hopefully pretty soon too. So I think the team's getting healthier. The O-line guys, it's going to be a little while yet for those two guys, Jenkins and Bakhtiari.
Gotcha. So, well, that is a great update. Jason, I really appreciate you offering your time to join me on air today. We only got about a minute left, but when you offered last week, you were like, hey, I'm headed up to Packers training camp. I was like, yes, let's do a live on-the-spot scene then, because it's coming up quick. It's first preseason game this week, and I believe that marks, like, there's no more Sundays until February without professional football, if you count the preseason games taking place on Sundays. So, exciting news. I really appreciate you, Jason. We'll have to have you on the show again soon.
Hey, thanks, Luke. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it looks when they play another team. So, looking forward to that.
Perfect. Appreciate it. Well, you enjoy the rest of your trip up north, Jason. Really appreciate you stopping by this afternoon. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian today because he is the birthday boy. But if you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. We're now on Spotify and Apple as well when it comes to podcasts. We'll be back tomorrow at 2. Talk to you then.